Welcome to the Robin Comrade Show. Rob Sanders.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
Comrade Mike Dobreski.
Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
The Rob and Comrade Podcast.
Welcome into another edition of the Rob and Comrade Show, the podcast that divides the Palmetto State. I am Rob Sanders, your host. I represent your reigning, defending national champions, the mighty Clemson Tigers. I also have a co-host for this show. Normally, I give him a lot of crap, but the man is playing hurt tonight. The man has strep throat.
That is true.
He is my co-host. He is the comrade, Mike Dobreski. Mike, good evening, sir, and congratulations. You're way the hell over there, and I don't have to deal with getting your strep, but good evening.
Well, I slept all day just to do this show tonight. That's how much I think of our listeners. All day long, just to wake up and do this show.
So, really, you slept all day?
I did, pretty much.
That's.
Well, I went to the doctor first to find out.
I know it. That's a pack of lies, because I've seen you on Facebook trolling people all day.
Well, I woke up a few times here and there, but basically I've been sleeping.
Was that your day? Is like, wake up, troll people, go back to sleep.
Yeah, did that pretty much. Went to the doctor, got the diagnosis, and then went to bed.
Well, it's best that you have strep and not the HIV. That's good. Mm-hmm. So congratulations on that. So I tell you what, why don't we thank the patrons for our show to start with this evening? They include Thomas Dana Young. He is, as we've said before, not a Furman fan. We appreciate him. Also, Lawton Swan of Clemson Sports Talk, the czar of Clemson Sports, and, of course, the host of, one of the hosts of the SC Sports Show on the South Carolina Radio Network, which I'm happy to be a part of as your afternoon sports anchor across the state. It still amazes me sometimes that as a kid, that's what I wanted to do, and now I get to do it. I get to live what I wanted to do when I was a kid. So that's just
living the dream.
It sounds cheesy, and I know it sounds corny, but every day I get to go in front of a microphone and talk about sports, and I get paid to do it. And that just makes me a very happy individual, because lots of people do work that they don't like just to exist. I don't do that. I really, really, really like what I get to do.
And oftentimes we hear your voice on the radio doing commercials.
Yeah.
It'll pop up and I'll tell the kids in the back, hey, that's that goofy guy I do my show with. And then sometimes we hear the smooth sounds of Gary Mills when Gary does, some of his spots. So
Gary Thrills Mills is one of my radio, we call them radio daddies. Gary, like when I first started in radio, Gary was like a, and Gary been doing radio forever. So learn a lot from Gary Mills. He's one of those guys that believed in this podcast too. Before he even knew it was going to air, he just had confidence in me and my ability to put some good stuff on the air. And it's just blossomed from there. We also have Thomas Danny Young, Kaylee Wandling, Keith Harrelson watching online tonight. We appreciate that. Kevin Willis, Jamie Phillips, Tabitha Sims, Robert Knight, Positive Mike, Lisa Sister Harkins, and Jeff Pritchett. Shout out to Bryson Carter joining us this evening online. Several other folks checking in this evening. Stacy, good old Stacy. What was the nickname I gave her the other day? Old Snapchat filter Stacy. She's watching online. We appreciate her.
Stanley's Beth girlfriend. Webb.
Yeah, Stanley's girlfriend. That's deep. Anyway, we have a lot of stuff we're going to get into this evening. I want to thank Callaway's Bar and Grill out in West Columbia, home of the Carolina Clash, which is coming up in July, one of the biggest Golden Tee tournaments in the Southeast. And the cool part about that is they're going to have world champions there that have, I mean, these guys have went to Las Vegas and won. They're all coming to West Columbia. Callaway's Bar and Grill, Highway 1, diagonal from the Walmart. I went by today and had buffalo chicken tacos. And, of course, I got to hang out with Cheddar Bob. And got to see Billy Muse for a little bit. Great, great guys. A family-owned business at Callaway's Bar and Grill out in West Columbia. Callaway'sBarAndGrill.com. You can also find them on Facebook as well. And we also have Dennis Wilson from D&C Trucking and Transport. Dennis, by the way, is working on getting the muscular dystrophy golf tournament. And after tonight's message, every message that the comrade would normally read will be about this big golf tournament coming up at a Hidden Valley on May the 4th. You got to go out and check this out. This is it's Logan's Heroes. It benefits a young man who has muscular dystrophy. And it's not just for him, but it works to bring awareness to muscular dystrophy and what it can do. The young man that this tournament started because of, when they first had the tournament, he's running around helping people on golf carts, and now he's in a wheelchair. And it's a sad, sad thing what muscular dystrophy can do. So if you can support that, we'll have some information on that. We're going to post that on the Robin Comrade Show page. But in honor of Dennis Wilson from D&C Trucking and Transport, the No Spin Zone with the Comrade. Comrade, read away, sir.
It sucks to be a Gamecock. Clemson is my national champion. Beep, beep, beep. The Gamecock baseball team is not elite. Will the Gamecocks win a conference series before Easter? With baseball in its final stages, we can start looking to football. I would like to congratulate the Gamecock football team on another upcoming season of misery. As you can see, it sucks to be a Gamecock. Go Tigers.
That message courtesy of Dennis Wilson, D&C Trucking and Transport. The cool part about that is that it's all facts, folks. All facts.
No.
Gamecock football team is going to be a crapshoot. The Gamecock baseball team is a gong show, and then we can go from there.
What well, do you want to, I, you I do want to say one thing
sick,
real quick.
Since you're we're, sick, we'll let you lead with what topic you want.
Real quick, though, Bryson Carter's in the room. Now, Bryson has not been in the room for a while.
Bryson's had some issues, so you need to calm the hell down.
Okay, but he's a Yankee fan. The Yankees have beaten the Red Sox 2 in a row, and suddenly he finds a room again.
I don't want to hear that. Look, everybody gets kind of a free pass right now because there were some people that turned one room where a lot of folks were in into a room that was about an old lady with callous boobs. So you got to slow down a little bit. People are still finding their way around. So slow down just a little bit. Okay. Don't get your Boston Red Sox thong in a wad. All right. What's the Red Sox record, by the way?
6-13, 6-14.
Jesus Christ. What the hell is wrong with your team?
By the way, now who was on this podcast and told you, I didn't think it'd be a good season for the Red Sox this year, right here.
I never said that.
Now, I don't think it'll be this bad. I think we'll recover, but it's hard to come back after winning the World Series. I mean, historically, the last team to win it back to back was, 20 years ago. The Yankees did it, and even like the Red Sox. The Red Sox only really had in 2008, they had a really good year after they won in 2007.
Yeah,
and they were one strike away from getting back to the World Series. So historically, I'm used to this. Red Sox won the World Series. They win four of them now in my lifetime. They don't have great years next year. And so it's been a little bit weird, but I think they'll recover still. Maybe get a wild card, but their pitching is in shambles.
I'm all for the Red Sox tanking this year because they're going to lose Jackie Bradley Jr. And I think an Atlanta Brave put him in the outfield with Ronald Acuna, two of the best defensive outfielders in baseball. Sign my ass up for that. So go ahead and tank the Red Sox. Well, go ahead. Jackie Bradley Jr. hit 205. He can hit 205 in Atlanta, and we'll love him regardless because he makes every damn play in the outfield. Your fans are a pile of crap up there for giving Jackie Bradley Jr. crap.
You know, they're not everyone. There's a lot of Red Sox fans who like Jackie.
Come on, Mike.
Defense,
I've seen the message boards. They don't like Jackie Bradley Jr. What's the line? Hey, Jackie, hit your weight. That's the line, isn't it?
Well, the line this year is, I thought he fixed his swing. I thought he fixed it because that was his big thing. The big thing was in the happened of the year. His last 2 months, he's hit over 300 last 2 months of the season last year. In the playoffs, he hit really well, of course, as well. And, of course, spring training hit very well. So the whole idea was breakout season for him. He's got a new swing. And, of course, right now he's hitting like 143 with a 189 OBP, I think last I saw. So, yeah, but he's not the reason why the Reds are losing. They're losing because Porcello has been horrible.
Sale's been horrible.
Eduardo Rodriguez has been horrible. Everybody's and tonight we get a good start from Eovaldi and our bullpen implode. So, listen, this team's got some flaws, so we'll see.
They got some flaws. Let's go over some of the stuff from let's see here. Bryson says he's going through a divorce. This is on Facebook Live. Kale says, hell, I was happy as a mofo when I went through my divorce. Quote, freedom. Who in the hell would want to divorce Kale Hall? That woman was whacked. Stacy says that her divorce was the happiest day of her life. Gary says Red Sox fans suck. Mookie at 200 is shocking. That's what Bryson says.
Mookie, and here's the thing about Mookie, too. Mookie looks lost in the field. I mean, he looks like an outfield. He looks like something. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if it's the fact that the Red Sox are trying to extend him, and he kind of turned down the offers. If he's thinking about the contract or what's going on, but or maybe he's going through some personal. Maybe he's got some. Maybe his wife's cheating on him. I don't think he's married.
Maybe he's got a. Maybe he's getting a divorce.
I don't know, but he just looks like he's.
He's
got
to deal with that. Like that's what lost. It is.
Like so, yeah. Who knows? It's still early in the year. 143 games left, I believe.
Yep.
So.
I'm not saying the Red Sox are going to be crap the rest of the year, but
Gary Mills makes the point though that Gary Mills says Red Sox fans suck.
They do.
But listen, I'm in Red Sox.
Come on now.
Oh, I know what I'm saying. I'm in Red Sox fans Red Sox rooms, and some of them are just. I mean, good God!
You want to know my favorite Red Sox fan? Are like the. That your GM should just go out and just get everybody. And you know what? Jackie Bradley's hitting 205 now or whatever the hell Jackie Bradley's hitting. Look, we should trade him right now. Why don't we trade him to the Braves for Ronald Acuna? They'll do that.
Well, the big thing right now
is in Atlanta. They'll do that.
The board the other night was they were mad because we didn't go after and get Yelich. How come the Red Sox didn't get Yelich? Like, I don't know. Maybe because, like we have no farm system to get him. That could be one thing in the trade.
Yeah. What exactly were you going to give up to get Christian Yelich?
I will say this, though. You know, Dombrowski is doing the same thing he did in Detroit. I mean, he won a title for us, but he empties the farm system to build a great team. And in Detroit, they couldn't get over the hump, mainly because the Red Sox beat him that 1 year. But what happens is – he's now got a bunch of players who all their contracts coming due, and the Red Sox can't sign everybody. And we have no farm system, so the Red Sox could be in trouble here in the next couple of years.
You guys are in for a world of hurt, and I'm not just saying that because I'm supposed to be the antagonist on this podcast. But Jackie Bradley Jr., I want him to come to the Atlanta Braves. As a Clemson guy, please send Jackie Bradley Jr. to the Braves. There we go. Braves just lost to the Diamondbacks 3-2. Screw you, Diamondbacks. No one likes you. Please take your ass back to Arizona.
How did Walker do tonight? I didn't get a chance to watch the game. I know Walker killed you guys last night.
I got nothing, Mike. Got nothing. Let's move on to college baseball as I'm still battling a cold here. Before we do that, though, there are a lot of people that listen to this podcast that it used to be everybody listened to this podcast because they hated you. Now there's a section of people that are listening to the podcast because they hate me.
Welcome.
And apparently, you and I are brothers in arms. Here you go. I'm shaking your hand from afar because I don't want strep.
Germies.
But
that's the germs.
It's kind of funny because I got two or three DMs telling me that certain people that I upset last Friday night are going to, quote, be after me on Facebook. What up, young man?
That's Big John. He's Big the Clemson John. Fan.
There we go. That's right. So, anyway, the only thing I can say to them is come at me, bro. That's, I don't know who remember who said that, but it won't work out too well for you. Let's just leave it at that. Carlos Holder's online and says he hates us both. Thank you, Carlos. I don't want to be friends with you either, okay? Especially Carlos, some of the dumb Carlos, shit you say.
The fact you hate me tells me I'm living my life the right way.
Yeah, if you wanted to be my friend, Carlos, I would be shocked at the kind of person that I am. If
Carlos said it, Debreski, I like that guy. I mean, he and I are just cut from the same cloth. I probably would go and reevaluate my life.
So. You need to, if it came to that, I'd hope you go to eatabullet.com because that's about where you need to be. All right. Anyway, come at me, bro. I love these guys thinking they're going to try to make my Facebook life misery. It's whatever. Life's bigger than that. So, but have at it. It's still going to be funny. Oh, by the way, college baseball last night. Who do you want to talk about? South Carolina or Clemson first, since you're sick?
Let's talk a little Gamecocks. And once again, I mean, the Gamecock team, this is why I tell people in the Gamecock rooms, they get mad at me because I think I'm pumping sunshine. But this team's got talent. They don't have a lot of depth. And they went out last night again, and they beat NC State 2 weeks ago, I believe it was. And last night beat UNC, looked really good. And for right. one game, when we have our pitching lined up, we're tough. the problem is in these series we have by Sunday, we get to Sunday and our pitching has just been worn out because we don't have enough arms, but, big win last night for them, beating the Tar Heels in Charlotte. We kind of got that monkey up our back, this year and up in Charlotte for sure, but against NC State now and the Tar Heels. And I can't stand the Tar Heels. I hate their basketball team, football team, baseball team, lacrosse team, swimming team, whatever team they have, I can't stand.
It's one of the few things you and I agree on is hatred of the idiots in blue up there. Here's my thing with the Gamecock baseball team. The Gamecock baseball team has problems with the C word. Do you know what C word I'm talking about, Mike? And I'm not talking about the people who are supposedly going to try to have some sort of Facebook war with me.
Callous?
I'm not saying, no, it's not callous. It does start with a C and end with a T, but it's not conference. What do you think it is?
I don't know.
Consistent. You're not consistent. You can go out, and this is the words of your own coach. You'll go out and you'll have days where you'll pitch well, and then you'll have days where you'll hit well, but you can't put them all together. Now, the best time to make that happen would be this weekend, because if by chance you lose, we talked about throwing curtains over if you lost the Florida series. If you lose this series to Texas A&M, pack it in, sir, because
you I mean, at this point, we got to win. We have to say four. If we win 2 out of 3 the rest of the year and finish 14-16, that's 2 out of 3 for the next 5 series.
That's what I'm saying. I think two out of three.
Just because these wins over Carolina and NC State and the win over Clemson, I think will help us kind of get in. But that, once again, that's not going to be easy to do. We have to find another guy to step up pitching-wise. We got to hope we get Majinski back and Chapman back at some point.
As a Gamecock fan, do you go into the games thinking – we need Friday and Saturday because Sunday we have no shot with our pitching staff?
Well, I don't know about – it's just tough. I mean, unless we get to the point where we win Friday and Saturday, or say we lose a Saturday game, we don't use much for our bullpen. So say, for example, you know what would be better off? If say we split Friday and Saturday, but one of the games was a blowout. Either we got killed – okay, and we didn't use our main arm. See, you know those games you get down like the Phillies and Mets had the other day? You're down 8-0 before you can blink.
Yep.
And then, of course, you throw in like your B arms and you save your bullpen for Sunday. But the problem we've been having is that we've been in tight games Friday and Saturday, and then we might win one and lose the other one. Then come Sunday, we're spent. So we need a game that we can maybe blow them out, where our offense just takes up. We win a game We don't have to use Brett Carey. And all of a sudden, we have the close game on Sunday where we can use all our arms and win that way. So we'll see.
It's a bold prediction, but I think that there's just not enough. You don't have enough pitching. And I know that sounds kind of lame, but you just don't have enough. Well, you don't have enough. It's too late. Look, if you have the option right now of redshirting Malinsky, if you could redshirt Malinsky or bring him back this season, what would you rather do?
Well, it depends when he can come back. I mean, if he can come back this week, bring him back. Because you never know what can happen. You get yourself in the tournament, and all of a sudden you get hot, and all of a sudden you can be in Omaha.
So I look at the standings. Only two teams get left out as far as going to Hoover. Okay, if you go to Hoover and you win some games there, you might be able to scratch the itch of the NCAA selection committee, and they're like, "Wow, these guys are playing pretty good." But right now you're tied with Kentucky. That Kentucky series, which comes up in a couple of weeks after the Vanderbilt series, May 10th, 11th, and 12th at Founders Park. I think that's going to be the series of the year. Now, it could be over by then because you've got Vanderbilt, you've got Missouri, you've got all that. But let's say you fly through those and you win. Let's say you win two out of those three series, okay? If you don't do well against Kentucky, you're not even going to Hoover. I mean, that's just what you've got in front of you. That's not me being an antagonist. It's just reality.
But since when? But since when do we lose to Kentucky in a sport?
Shut up. Why don't you ask Muschamp about that and see what he thinks? But no, I mean, Kentucky's a pretty shitty baseball team. You guys should be able to roll with them.
This year they are. Yeah, I'm kind of surprised how bad they are.
They normally have no pitching. But they always hit home runs, but this year they're not even doing that. Missouri's probably the surprise of the East, or I'm saying the East. Missouri's probably the surprise of the conference with the way that they've played. They're currently a ranked team. So right now I think the Gamecocks finish. I'm going to give you 12 conference wins. 12 out of your, that means I think you're going to go 8-7 the rest of the way. So you have a winning record, but go 12-18 overall. That's a very realistic thing there.
Yeah, well, it could be. How we've been playing, but if we can turn it around and get hot, maybe get one of those guys back, you never know. So we'll see. We gotta take care of business this weekend, though. Hopefully the UNC game will kind of – I mean, I thought the same thing 2 weeks ago with NC State, where the NC State game kind of get us going, but it didn't. Maybe the UNC game will kind of get them going, get a little confidence. We can go ahead and take care of A&M this weekend. So,
we'll see what happens with that. Clemson last night plays Georgia, the fifth ranked team in the country. I went into it thinking that, yeah, this wasn't going to work out well for Clemson simply because Jacob Hennessy was starting, and I'm not a Jacob Hennessy guy. He's just disappointing. He really is. But Hennessy goes out there and throws the ball pretty well. Five plus innings of shutout baseball, and Clemson. And both teams, let's be honest here, pitched well enough to win the game. But it came down to Clemson had, I think it was an error that gave up a couple runs because Clemson had like a 2-0 lead in the seventh. Georgia rallies, ends up going 20 innings. Mike, how much did you watch last night?
Well, I didn't watch any of it, but I follow on Twitter. I go to the Clemson. I don't follow Clemson baseball on my Twitter. But I'll go to their page and refresh. So I didn't watch it. I was watching last night. I was watching the Braves game. I was watching the Red Sox game and the Gamecock game. So,
the game ended at 1:30 in the morning. So I figured
I was maybe feeling well, so you would stop watching the Giants. I didn't even stay up to the end of the Braves game. I went to bed before that game ended because I was feeling like crap. So,
I woke up this morning.
I stayed awake till the Gamecock game was over.
Right.
Made sure we won that game, and that kind of after that was over, the Red Sox game was good. They were getting killed. They were over quick, and after watched the Braves blow their lead and went to bed. And then I woke up this morning, and before I went to bed, I hit the refresh button again. I think it was like the 12th inning, you want to say.
Yeah.
When I went to bed, and I was like, God, you know. So, I couldn't post anything to troll anybody before I went to bed. Woke up this morning feeling like absolute crap, and I put my Twitter account on. I saw you guys lost, and that made me smile a little bit, just a little bit.
Well, here's my thing with that game. I don't know if you caught this or not, but the teams combined for 50 strikeouts.
The record's 51, so you guys missed the record. The college baseball record's 51, I believe.
Clemson struck out 26 times. Georgia struck out 24 times. 50 strikeouts last night. And normally in a game like that, you think, all right, the B team pitchers are going to come in and it's going to get ugly in the 12th or 13th. But these guys are just coming in there mowing them down. Some of the nastiest curveballs I've ever seen were coming from these guys. And there was one set where Grayson Bird last night was like 3-for-9 on the night to lead the Tigers. Clemson had 10 hits. Georgia had 9 hits, I think was what the box score was, in a 3-2 game in 20 innings. But Grayson Bird was swinging at pitches like, I mean, he looked like I would look up there trying to swing at a college-level curveball. But the line of the night, though, for this game was Logan Davidson, 0-for-7 on the night, 2 walks. He did not have a good night at all, and he had several opportunities where he could have ended that game. Just not a good night for Davidson. That's the way baseball is. But I tell you what, Clemson hung with them more than I thought they would, and I was very proud of the Clemson bullpen for doing what they did, but Monty Lee used the hell out of that bullpen last night trying to pick up that win. And now I'm worried that they may not, they're definitely not going to have some of their relievers. The closer, Spires, pitched 4 1/3 innings on a Tuesday night game. Coach, what the hell are you doing? Get him out of there. You need him for the conference series, man. Because we goof a lot in here about, you know, midweek games and ACC and SEC games. But in reality, the only games that matter in college baseball, in my opinion, are your conference games and the games that happen in June. Those are the only games that really matter. The series this weekend with Duke means a hell of a lot more than that one game with Georgia. So I was kind of upset with Monty Lee for letting him go that far that on Tuesday night. Because you're pretty much guaranteeing he can't pitch after 4 2/3 innings, Mike. I mean, I don't think he can pitch until Sunday. Would you agree with on that? Maybe Saturday. I mean,
he'll probably go. You'll probably use him Friday. You guys don't play. You guys play Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
No, we play Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Okay. So we don't play Easter. So we're religious. No, I mean, he should be okay. I mean, it's not ideal. The question is, how effective will he be if he's not used to that? That's a lot of times you use guys that long, they're not used to it. All of a sudden, you see injuries pop up because not used to it. And it's not, you know, right. People say we baby pitchers nowadays. It's not about babying them. It's just that if you're pitching out of, you're not used to pitching that much,
right?
It can be difficult. So, but Georgia, I mean, I watched them play up close. When they played us, they got a lot of arms. They have a lot of depth in their bullpen. A lot of guys come in and throw hard and throw strikes. And we found it out. Lost some tough games with them when they took care of us. But so they're good.
It wasn't like it was an embarrassing loss for Clemson. No. You went 20 innings with the number 5 team in the country. Let it go. I mean, just let it go. There were some Clemson fans that were upset last night. I was upset because of the way the game ended. If I sat through 50 strikeouts, I want a walk-off homer. That's what I want. I know that sounds kind of silly, but that's what I want. And, of course, I didn't get it. So, there's that. Mike, I wanted to bring this up today. You were talking about something in one of our Facebook groups today about Clemson's schedule for the upcoming season. Do you want to talk about that?
Well, I actually heard it on Heath Klein's show. Okay.
Oh, okay.
I love Heath Klein. He does a good job. Best show 107.5. And I know you don't like him because he works at a rally, but whatever. But Heath Klein's a good job. And so ESPN apparently released their FPI rankings and all that stuff there too. And this has got a lot of controversy, but the Gamecocks are the toughest game on Clemson's schedule. Now, some of your taters who aren't that bright will argue that makes no sense. A&M is ranked 11th in the ESPN poll, and the Gamecocks are 18th. That makes no sense. Well, obviously, because you play A&M in Death Valley, you play us here at Willie B. That's probably why, the percent-wise, our game is, quote-unquote, the tougher game. So I just thought it was funny because, you know, Clemson fans like to call us trash and we're a lousy program, we're crap, yet the crap team is the toughest game on your schedule, which kind of tells you all you need to know about your schedule this year. But this is something interesting. But Clemson does lead the percentage-wise. I think you're 83% chance making the playoffs, 84%.
Yep.
And you lead that by a wide margin. I think Bama's next to, like, I think 45 or 50. I think they're down there. It's a big gap between Clemson and the next team. And, of course, you have George up there and all that stuff.
Alabama's favored at, like, or it's Clemson's like a 37% chance to repeat as national champions. Now, I'm going to ask you as a Gamecock fan. You've been a Gamecock since, what, 1992? Don't want to put your age on you. Okay. Did you ever think you would see Clemson at a point where their football team was favored to win back-to-back national titles, and not only win back-to-back national titles, but do it against an Alabama team?
Well, you know, when I first came down here, I knew nothing of the rivalry when it came down here. So my interest in the Clemson football was in the 1990s, which you guys blew, okay? So 92, I come down here, and you guys blew the 90s. You guys were, you know, going 6-5 and all that stuff there too. So I thought you were a joke, and obviously the Gamecocks weren't exactly doing great things either in the 90s, okay? And so, no, I thought you guys were horrible. And and of course, Bama wasn't great in the 90s either.
Right.
But, no, it's you know, listen, and I rag on Clemson a lot, but and I rag on Dabo a lot. I think he's a phony, and I'll stick to that until I go to my grave. He's a phony. But whatever he's doing, the program you guys have built, whether you built it illegally or not, I don't care. It's been impressive. You know, you're getting recruits to come there. I mean, I don't know why a recruit want to go to school there. I mean, I go up there to visit sometimes. I'm like, get me out of here before I die of some kind of disease.
That's because but apparently
they want to go up. So they've done a great job. No doubt about it. And I look at your schedule. I don't see. I mean, listen, you got A&M at home. I'm not sure how good A&M is this year. You got Syracuse. That's Syracuse. I mean, you know, Syracuse. The reason why Syracuse beat you last time in the dome, it was a Friday night game. You guys kind of overlooked them. You had no respect for them to the point where you played a quarterback who was injured. And so I think they kind of caught you off guard. Last year, I think you went in the game thinking there could be dangerous. And then, of course, you had Lawrence get hurt. And so you had to go and kind of change the game plan that way. So I know the Syracuse game, everyone's kind of circling as Clemson could go down. But, I mean, I think you'll be ready for that game. There'll be a game you got circled in your calendar because your schedule's so bad. I don't think any have any problem with Syracuse this year. So
I'm not sure
who's having a hard time.
See, when I look at Clemson's schedule, though, I don't think that Clemson's schedule is that challenging. But I have said this for the longest time. I don't think Clemson needs to play South Carolina anymore. It doesn't bring Clemson anything. It really doesn't.
It's the toughest game of your schedule this year, so we help your schedule strength. You're welcome.
No, you're not helping our schedule strength. Because by the time we get to you, you're going to be about a 5-win team. So it's not helping our schedule. The preseason stuff, we've talked about this before. The preseason stuff doesn't matter. It matters at the end of the season. That's the absolute truth. That's what means the most. We can sit here and look at the schedule all you want, but it all depends on how these teams play. I mean, nobody thought last year that Florida was going to be as good as they are. Nobody thought that. At the beginning of the season, I did pick every Gamecock win and loss, but I thought the Gamecocks were a better team than Florida, and you weren't.
Well,
you weren't. So let's not even, you can't even argue that because the scoreboard shows that you're wrong. Mm. And here's the thing with that. You can make an argument that you can look at Clemson's schedule now. There are a lot of games on there with teams that are, you don't even know what the hell they've got. Nobody knows what Georgia Tech is going to do. Nobody has a clue. And that makes them tough to game plan for. I'm not saying Clemson could stub their toe there, but I think that game's going to be interesting because they do have some ACC athletes out there, and it's a completely different system.
Did you say ACC athletes?
Athletes, yes. Power Five athletes. What? You have a problem with that?
No,
all right, sorry. I'll tell you what. Why don't we talk about what your team did against ACC athletes?
ACC athletes.
What are you talking about?
That's good.
Okay, why don't we talk about what Virginia's ACC athletes did to your team? Do you want to talk about that?
They got the ACC.
Do you want to talk
athletes.
About what Clemson did
Look
to
out,
your
everybody.
Athletes? I said ACC athletes. It could be Power Five athletes. It could be whatever. What your Gamecock team needs to do is stop getting SoCon athletes, and then you might be effective. How's that sound?
ACC.
Do you want to try that? No, I didn't
take a
think
drink.
So.
My throat's a little sore now because I'm laughing that hard.
Yeah, well, I would laugh hard, too, if I had a team full of SoCon athletes with a piss-poor coach that no one wants.
But yet we're the toughest game in your schedule, according to ESPN.
Once again, that's projections.
The SoCon
athletes. Yeah, by the time that game comes around Thanksgiving, it's going to be the Gamecocks maybe a 5 or a 6-win team. You're not going to be much better than
with
that.
With that schedule, if we have 6 wins going in that game with that schedule, we'll probably be ranked. So
you're not going to be ranked as a 6-win team with five losses.
With that schedule, depending on who we beat, we might be.
You want to place a wager on that?
Well, right now we're 18th in the country, according to ESPN, but they have us winning 6 games. What does that tell you?
That their projections could be wrong? I don't know.
Okay, I'm just saying, though. But they're projecting us win 6 games. Yeah, have us the 18th best team in the country.
Well, I don't know. Someone needs to go up to ESPN and explain to them that your team is a shithole. I don't know what else. I don't know what else you need on that front. But looking at Clemson's schedule, though, there's 1, 2, 3, 4 teams that we don't really know what they're going to have in Georgia Tech, North Carolina, Florida State with their second year under Willie Taggart, and Louisville. You don't know what they're going to have. They could be absolute gong shows. You just don't know. I don't think South Carolina is the toughest game on the schedule because I don't think the Gamecocks are that good. They haven't done anything during the offseason to make them think that they're going to be just the most awesome team ever. I mean, what have they done? I mean, honestly, what have you done to make me think that I'm supposed to be terrified as a Clemson guy this Gamecock team?
You're going to be double digits favorites. The point is your schedule is so bad that we're the toughest team on your schedule. That's what the whole point is. That's how bad your schedule is.
Well, the thing with the schedule is that Clemson can't determine their conference schedule. They can't do that. So they're out of conference schedule. They scheduled Charlotte, Texas A&M, South Carolina, and Wofford. I have a problem with the Charlotte game. It should be someone else. Maybe Georgia. It should be. Hopefully it'll get to that point eventually. I think that what is eventually going to happen with scheduling is teams like Alabama who don't schedule home and homes, but they want you to think playing a lower-level team at a neutral site and they win by 70, they want you to think that that's a quality win because they're outside of Tuscaloosa. I think what's going to happen to them eventually is that you're going to have the College Football Playoff Committee is going to look at them and say, you know what? What have they done? They don't play anybody outside of Tuscaloosa. It's stupid. Once they figure that out, I think that Alabama is going to be the last one to fall because they're always a couple cards short of a deck out there, and they're going to start scheduling the way that it should be and schedule some actual true home and homes with everybody else. But teams are going to have to get away from having two non-conference games that are just complete crap. The Gamecocks, your non-conference games this year are Clemson, North Carolina, Charleston Southern, which I agree with because you got to support your in-state teams. I don't have a problem with that. The other game you have is App State. App State is a pretty good football team. So, you know, I don't really have a problem with that because it's in your region. I'll say this because I've said it. I think I've said it before on my Fox Sports show. People should look at what the Gamecocks have done this year and try to model their schedule after that. Play an up-and-coming team like App State. Play a regional team like North Carolina, and then play your rival, and then have one cupcake game against a team from in-state so you help fund their athletic program. That makes the most sense. Or you can go to a 9-game conference schedule and take it out of the athletic director's hands because obviously the majority of them are too freaking stupid. What would you like to add, sir?
Well, I mean, I agree with you too. I mean, I want to go to a nine-game conference schedule. I think it just makes more sense. I think you eliminate that awful week the SEC has before the rivalry week. Yep. Is just absolutely horrible. And you would think that the TV networks would say, listen, you can't have this anymore. You need to either break up the schedule or disperse these around the season. You cannot have all those games. That week is a throwaway week. And that happens, too, I think, in week three. I think it's week three is a horrible week, too. I would think the TV people would be like, listen, we can't have an awful 2 weeks like this. We need to kind of spread these games around. And then, of course, you have some weeks you have 10 great games. And you can't watch them all, you know? It's like spread these things around a little bit where you're not having just weeks where you have, 10 great games and then weeks where, no great games. So
for the Sunday, November the 23rd, this is your SEC schedule. Western Carolina at Alabama, Samford at Auburn. The jewel game is Texas A&M and Georgia. I think we'll agree on that. UT Martin at Kentucky, Arkansas and LSU. Everybody else, Tennessee and Missouri stay in conference. They play each other. But then you got Abilene Christian and Mississippi State, and East Tennessee State and Vanderbilt. East Tennessee State might win that game. Let's look at the ACC that weekend, too, because sometimes they have the same problem. Mercer at North Carolina. North Carolina might get a win there. Liberty at Virginia. There's another kind of blah game. Clemson is off that weekend. So it's interesting with us because South Carolina doesn't play that weekend either. And it's crazy because you've got a crappy SEC schedule. Your best ACC game, Miami and Florida International, Pitt and Virginia Tech. Those two teams could be battling for the Coastal Division title. Syracuse at Louisville, Duke at Wake Forest, Boston College at Notre Dame. Thursday night matchup, NC State and Georgia Tech. So, ACC and SEC front, it's a shitter that week. Well, it really
here's
is.
Here's the thing. For those of you who are young and thinking about getting married, for those of you who are older and got kids who may be getting married, if you have to get married in the fall, get married in the 23rd of November. That's the week to get married right there. Clemson and Carolina are both off. No good games going on there.
Right.
Good week right there.
You want to know the funny thing? Is I'm DJing my buddy Willie Tanner's wedding on the, I think it's the 23rd.
That's a good week.
Yeah, I'm going somewhere in North Carolina to marry him and his wife. I'm not marrying them. I'm playing the tunes. That's all that's going to happen up there.
That's the married week right there. If you're going to get married in the fall,
so
I don't suggest, but if you're going to get married in the fall, pick that week right there.
Well, yeah, so there we can go with that. Comrade, we have, what else do we have this week? There really isn't anything else out there this week that's interesting. Gamecock baseball with Texas A&M, Clemson baseball with Duke. Next weekend, I think, is the interesting – or no, it's 2 weeks from now when we have – we'll have both Carolina and Clemson in a big-time division series. I think Clemson's got NC State that weekend. South Carolina's got Vanderbilt. So two big series there. But that's also Kentucky Derby weekend. You know, the big thing with the horses. I don't know if you're into that or not, but I like the horses. Why not?
A little bit. A little bit.
Would you go to Kentucky Derby and take your wife? Would you buy her a hat?
Yes, I would. That's kind of a bucket list thing I want to do, is go to Kentucky Derby.
Right, do you want to take the wife and buy her a hat?
Sure. You got to get the hat.
Would you wear the hat later on? Like, wear it out? I wouldn't do that.
Probably not.
But you married like a Southern belle, man. She's used to having all those hats and all that crap, right?
I think she'd wear a hat. She'd be into that.
She probably would. All right. Well, Mike, do you have anything else for this week's show?
That's it. Big weekend. Gamecocks gotta get going. Baseball season, Major League Baseball season is kind of getting the thick of things. The Braves got to find some bullpen help. And, of course, my Red Sox got to find help.
This Caino is done for the year. Hello, you're being paged.
I don't think the Braves are going to get him just because of the fact they're going to lose a draft pick and they're going to lose international slot money, which they don't have a lot of because of their last GM screwing them over so bad. Yeah. So I'm not sure they're going to go that route. I think they're going to try to find guys in their system. You know, they got a bunch of arms in their system.
But that's not going to end up helping them out in October. That may be the downfall for them.
Well, they could make a trade, too. I mean, they can always make a trade, too, in the deadline, getting the guy currently on their team. But I just don't think Kimbrel's the answer. One, I think he wants a lot of money in years. And two, I think it's just for the draft picks and the money they lose out. So I think they could find a guy July 31st. You know, off of a Royals team or a White Sox team.
Yeah, who's the closer for the Orioles? Go get him.
Yeah, something like that. So
something like that.
We give up a type B prospect for that. So I think that's kind of what they're going to do. And then they got enough arms kind of keep them going in the meantime. So we'll see.
All right. We'll be back on our next show. And with that, the show's a wrap.
Thanks for listening to the Rob and Comrade podcast. Follow Rob on Twitter at Rob Sounds Good and follow the Comrade at the Pesky Pole.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.